session number 24573, Reel 3.
So one day they sent for me to go to the... He... Us.
All... Was it the members of the... Mr. Darcy, Reel 3. Now, while you were doing this, how did you get on with the members of the Royal Navy you came into contact with, either during your duties as a tender or ashore?
Well, basically, the answer to that is they were all highly jealous or envious of us. I mean, these were blokes who were out in the big wide world fighting Germans and in danger of being torpedoed and shot to pieces. And here we were, in a comparatively safe atmosphere of the Scarpa Flow. And I think they all felt we'd got a cushy number. And to be perfectly honest, I think we had.
Did they take it out on you? I mean, you know, sometimes...
No, never.
They were friendly, though.
Oh, perfectly friendly, yes. Absolutely friendly. In fact, most of them hardly realised that we were in the Navy. Most of them thought we were still civilians because we really didn't bother dressing in naval uniform. We just wore our old fishing gear most of the time, and nobody realised, a lot of them, as I say, didn't realise that we were actually in the same service as they were in.
Now, how long this went on till when?
This went on until the back end of 1942.
So November?
November, possibly December. November, December. Now, at that point, one of the officers in the Drifter office at Lyoness that I've mentioned previously was a chap called Lieutenant Fox. And he had, for some reason, I suppose because I was an unusual fish, was speaking with a South of England voice and all the rest of it, he had apparently had a word with the Drifter commander, whose name I can't remember, and suggested that perhaps I ought to be asked if I would like to be put forward for training for a commission. So one day they sent for me to go to the office, and Lieutenant Fox put it to me. He said, look, he said, would you like to be put forward as a CW candidate? And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, it would mean you going for training as a naval officer and eventually becoming a naval officer. So I thought about it for a minute. I thought, well, that sounds nice. I said, that sounds very nice. Yes, I'd like to do that, please. So the wheels were put in motion. And after a week or two, I suppose, or three, I can't remember how long now, I was given instructions that I was leaving the Flow, leaving the ship, leaving the boat, and I was going down to Portsmouth, where I would go before a selection commission, which I did. I went down to Portsmouth, a long journey. It was a hell of a journey to get from Scarpa Flow down to the south of England. There was a train that went from Thurso to Euston, and of course also from Euston to Thurso, that was called the Jellicoe Special. You heard of it. And this was a dreadful train. It used to take 24 hours to do this journey. And it was absolutely appalling. You were jammed into this train absolutely solidly, and you usually couldn't get a seat or anything. And they used to stop at Perth, and I think they stopped at Carlisle for an hour, and the Salvation Army or the WVS used to come out and feed you with sandwiches and soup and stuff. But it was a fearful journey. Anyway, I went down to London and then down to Portsmouth. And I went to the Portsmouth Barracks, which I'd never been to before. And then after a day or two, I found I didn't have to sleep in barracks if I didn't want to. I could sleep at a place called the Sailor's Rest at Southsea, which was much better than trying to sleep in barracks. So I used to sleep at this Sailor's Rest. It used to cost about a shilling a night or something like that.
What was it like?
Horrible.
Why?
I can't remember now. To be absolutely truthful, I can only remember I hated it there. But you got a bed in a room with several other blokes. But the thing I do remember is that in the early morning, they used to call the hands, as you might say, by a bloke standing at the top of the stairs in the house and walking all the way down the stairs, dragging a great big length of corrugated iron behind him. And the noise that this thing made was absolutely appalling, and that was the alarm system they had to get people out of bed. That's really all I can tell you about the Sailor's Rest at Southsea. I didn't like it. Anyway, after a day or two of this, I was called before this Admiralty Selection Board, which was sitting there. And I went in, and there were, as far as I remember, three officers. There were, I think, two captains and a commander. I'm not absolutely certain. There might have been three captains. Anyway, there were certainly two and a commander. And they started asking me questions. Now, the first thing they said to me was, right, Darcy, where did you do your initial entry training, your new entry training when you joined the Navy? So I looked at them and I said, well, I've never done any. I've done absolutely nothing in the way of training to be a sailor in the Navy. I was in this drifter as a civilian, and then the next day I was still in the drifter as a sailor, and here I am in my uniform. And they were absolutely baffled. They never met anybody before who came in as a seaman patrol service who had never done any form of naval training of any sort, type or description. So they started asking me a lot of questions about what I'd been doing. So this questioning went on for several minutes, and there was no way that they could understand how anybody could possibly have got through the net like this. So they sent me out of the room while they had a little chat. Then they called me back in again, and they said, right, what we're going to do with you, Darcy, is to send you to your port division. Now, my port division was Lowestoft. The reason for that is I was in what was known as the patrol service, the Royal Naval Patrol Service, and the port division for the Royal Naval Patrol Service was Lowestoft in Suffolk. Whereas nearly all sailors in the Navy were either Portsmouth ratings, Chatham ratings, or Devonport ratings, patrol service ratings were Lowestoft, and my official number was an LT number rather than a P, C, or D. So, they're going to send you back to your port division at Lowestoft, and we're going to have you attached to one of the training groups of young men who are being specially trained as combined operations officers. And you will join this group. You'll join this group, and you will do all the training that they do. And that will give you, hopefully, enough basic information on the Royal Navy to enable you to come back before another selection board and hopefully be passed to go forward for officer training at HMS King Alfred. So I said, well, thank you very much, sir, and about turn and off I went. Now, I went to Lowestoft. Now, Lowestoft was my port division. I'd never been there, but nevertheless I was a Lowestoft rating. And I reported in there.
When did you report in there? Would this still be December?
Oh, it would have been December, yeah. Yeah. And I reported in to the Naval Depot base at a place called the Sparrow's Nest, as I remember it. The Sparrow's Nest. That was it. And I reported in there, and they'd got my papers. They knew I was coming. So in Lowestoft, you didn't live in barracks. There was no barracks. Everybody lived in billets in the town. And sailors were billeted all over the town. in people's houses. So I was sent to a billet with a Mrs. Oldman in Factory Court. Factory Court.
Now, what were the, before we go on, what were the billets like to live in?
Well, I was just going to come to that. Now, these varied, the billets varied a great deal from one to another. Some of the billets were in very nice houses, you know, quite valuable, big houses, beautifully furnished and all the rest of it. And some of them were in what you'd call very low quality accommodation. Now, the one I went to was what I would call fairly low quality accommodation. It was a little two up, two down house in a place called Factory Court in Lowestoft. And it was there was a front room and a kitchen. There was an outside lavatory. There were two bedrooms upstairs. You went up almost a ladder rather than a staircase to get to and get to them. The woman and her young son lived in one of the bedrooms, and I lived in the other bedroom with three other sailors in two double bunks. And that was it. That was the house, the whole house. It was two up, two down, and outside toilet. No bathroom. You washed at the sink in the kitchen. There was a coal range in the kitchen. There was also a gas stove, I remember, a table in the middle and some sort of cupboards around the side. And that was it, and an outside toilet. And that was my billet. And I lived there. And after a very short time, three blokes turned up to fill the other three beds. And they were all Scotsmen. They were all called Angus McKeever. And they all came from Stornoway. And they all swore they weren't related to each other. Frankly, I never believed that. Anyway, I lived in this billet with Mrs. Oldman. It was in a vague sort of way. It was quite comfortable. It was warm and cosy. When you were in there, it was winter time, filthy, cold, rotten weather. And when you were in there, it was warm and comfortable and sweaty, and it was not too bad. Anyway, that was my billet in Lowestoft. And then I was put on this course.
Now, this was a combined operations course.
Yes, this is a course for young sailors who were being trained up to become combined operations officers, chaps who would be running these little landing craft, slamming them into the beach and letting the ramp down. You know what I mean? They weren't going for general service in the Navy. They were doing this combined operations course. A very dangerous job, you appreciate. Anyway, I was put on this course, and I forget how many of us there were. There were, in the course, I suppose there must have been about 15, possibly 20 of us. And it was very good. We got training, we got field training, that is, say, square bashing.
Tell us a bit about, take us through the training quite, I mean, yeah. What about your square bashing? How did you take to drill?
I loved it. I liked all that. I always liked bullshit. I always have done.
It was your first drill?
Never put a gun in my hand until then. And we had a leading seaman, it was a gunnery rating, whose name escapes me now, who was our field training instructor. And he was very good. He was stern and strict, but he was very good. You could hear what he said, you could understand what he was saying, and he spoke slowly enough to be understood. And he used to take us for field training and very good square bashing, and I quite enjoyed all that.
Did you understand the point of drill?
Oh, very much so. Discipline is of the essence. This was my first experience of naval discipline. And obviously, when you consider it, it's an absolute essential part of naval training. What I'd been doing up to then was pure Harry Tate's Navy, you know, nothing real at all. So it was fine. I liked it.
Now, what else is, so there's basic drill. What about fitness training?
I was going to say that there wasn't time for gymnasium training or anything like that. Sorry. But what they used to do with us every afternoon, they used to make us get into our shorts, singlets, and they used to take us for a cross-country run. And it was winter time, and it was absolutely bloody freezing. And we used to have to run, I don't know, 5 or 6 miles, which is quite a long trek when you're not used to it particularly. And we used to have to run, and then we'd run back to the base, and we'd manage to get a shower and get dressed again. And that was the physical training. That and the rifle drill and square bashing, that was the physical side of it. Nothing else.
What else did you do with
that? Well, then, as well as that, we did boat handling.
Now, tell me a bit about that. Seamanship?
Take me through all the seamanship
you did.
Well, we had all the usual stuff that sailors have to do. That's bends and hitches, knots and splices, all that sort of thing.
Now, you must have done quite a bit of
that. I'd done all that. I was good at that. I didn't need anyone to tell me how to splice a rope. I'd been doing it for a year and a half on the fishing boat. So I was perfectly happy. I could show them some knots, in fact. I did. But that's neither here nor there. Knots, bends and hitches and splicing, that was fine. The other thing was pilotage and buoyage. That is to say, coastal navigation, lights and buoys, and then how to do coastal navigation on a chart, how to lay off a course, how to allow for wind, how to allow for tide, how to take bearings, and so on and so forth, all that.
I know you were only a deckhand, but I presume you'd picked up quite a bit of that.
Well, indeed, absolutely, because, I mean, on the old drifter, I mean, all of us used to take a turn at steering the ship about. And it was very nice. In that wheelhouse there, you stood in front of the wheel. It was a great big wheel. It was about 4 feet in diameter, I should think. And you used to stand in front of it, not behind it. You'd stand in front of it and wind it round like a handle.
With your right hand?
Or your left hand, if you're left-handed. And look through the windows, and the compass was in the deckhead above you. So you'd be standing there leaning back on the wheel looking at the compass.
So you could box a compass as well?
Oh, yeah. All the sort of practical side of it, I was perfectly okay at, although I'd never had a lesson as such in my life. It was simply something I'd been doing for 18 months or thereabouts. So I had no problem with that side of it. Obviously, plotting courses and taking bearings and all that sort of thing, that was new to me. I had to learn how to do that.
Was your maths up to it?
Oh, yes. There was no problem there. No, my arithmetic, because it's basically arithmetic and a bit of geometry. And they were the two subjects I liked as maths. So that was fine, and I did all that, and we did actual boat handling. They had some boats you could take out and use, you know, to play about with. It was very nice, and rather interestingly, one of our instructors on coastal navigation was a bloke who was quite a well-known comedian at that time, a fellow called Eric Barker, whom you may have heard of, not possibly well before your time, but he was at that time, you know, on the radio and so on and so forth.
What was he like?
He was a very nice bloke, Eric. Charming. He's dead now, of course, but a very nice man.
Now, what about the actual experience on the landing craft? Did you actually go on
No, I didn't do that. That happened later for these guys.
So this was a preliminary thing,
and they were going from there up to Scotland somewhere, Loch Ailort or some such place as that, for their actual practical training in the handling of these craft. So that was after I broke off from them.
Completely. Anything else you remember about the training?
No, except I enjoyed it. We were all under the control of an RNR skipper, a skipper RNR, a man called Hogg. And he was very good. He was our boss, really, while we were there. And I think he did very well. Anyway, the long and short of it is, after probably 2 or 3 months of this...
So that would take you through to about February.
Yeah, something like that.
43.
Yeah, that's it. I went back to the selection board. This time, as far as I remember, it was at Brighton, at Hove. at King Alfred. And I went before the selection board there. Different blokes, of course, from the ones I'd seen previously. And they said, OK, they listened to my story and looked at my documentation and all the rest of it. And they said, OK, you're in. You're in for training. So I started there and then at King Alfred. And there, of course, an awful lot of what I was going to do for the next 2 or 3 months was exactly what I'd been doing for the last 2 or 3 months at Lowestoft. The signalling, the navigation, coastal navigation, all sorts of seamanship things that I was going to do at King Alfred. I just finished doing them, so I mean it was a doddle as far as I was concerned.
Did you find it frustrating or...?
No, oh no, I didn't. I thought, what a lucky chap I am, I thought. Here I am, I'm having just a run through something I've just finished doing. So I passed out eventually, and we did the King Alfred. You did, as far as I remember, we did 2 or 3 weeks at a small place in Hove. I can't remember where it was now. And then we went to Lancing College. Lancing College was a big public school along the coast a bit from Hove, and it had been taken over by the Navy. There were no boys there, no pupils. And it was all Navy. And we were there, we did all sorts of things there. We did all the whole shooting match.
Can you tell us a bit about what you did at Lancing? You know,
well, it was very much the same as what I'd been doing at Lowestoft.
Again?
Again. It was the signals, for example.
No, we haven't mentioned signals, actually.
No.
Tell us a bit about signals.
Well, there was lamp signalling and the flag signalling. And also semaphore. We did all three types of signal training at King Alfred.
Now that can be quite a lot to learn, especially with the balls
yes,
and everything.
Yes, it's a hell of a lot to learn, and it all became part of your examination at the end. You know, before you passed out, and it was a lot to learn. And but fortunately, as I say, most of it I'd just done. So lamp signal. I mean, I never got to be an expert handler of an Aldous lamp or anything like that. But I could send and receive. I couldn't do it now. I could send now, I think, but I couldn't receive. I couldn't read. I don't think I could read Morse fast anymore. But you've got a reasonable speed of Morse reading. It's easier to send than to receive, of course. And we did a lot of that, the lamp signalling, the flag signalling, semaphore, all of those sort of things. Plenty of square bashing, plenty of gymnasium work.
Now, what about navigation? Was that an officer's level, a higher level?
Yes. Navigation was, very similar to what we'd done at Lowestoft. There was all the coastal navigation, and it touched on celestial navigation, but not to an enormous extent. I'll tell you why later. But there was certainly ship boat handling. We had to do that on the river there. There was a river whereby we could do boat handling. And we had to do all the chart work and so on. And what else? As I say, field training and naval history.
What about naval history? How far did you go into it? To what point did you go into it?
I don't think we went into it to any great extent, other than to learn what we probably should have known already, that the Royal Navy had been England's defence for 300 or 400 years.
Was this done by lectures or reading course?
Yes, lectures. We had some blokes called schoolmasters. Officers they were, who had a blue band between the gold stripes. I don't know what the official name for them is, but they were always called schoolmasters, and I think that's what they were. And they used to give us these lectures, which were very interesting. I mean, I found all that fascinating.
You hadn't really known it then?
A lot of it I did, yes, because I'd done read books and so on and so forth, and I knew quite a lot about it, but not the sort of detail that they came up with.
Were they drawing out tactical lessons, or was it really
purely general stuff. Purely general stuff.
Did you learn much about tactics, naval tactics, the sense of, or submarine tactics?
This all came later. This all came after I commissioned.
Anything else while you were at Lancing?
Not a great deal, I don't think.
How did you get on with the other cadets?
Fine. I was much of an age with them. I was 19, coming up to 20. And there were about... I was in what was known as Grenville Division. And there were about 80 or 90 of us in that division. And we went through together, everything we did together, you know, right the way through the course.
Were they from a similar social background to yourself?
Some of them were. Some of them were from a rather aristocratic background, and they knew it.
In what way?
Naval officers. Naval officers are very often known to the lower deck as pigs. You may have heard the expression. You may not. I don't know. In fact, you'll often hear a rating speak of, who's pig of the day today? Who's pig of the watch? They mean, you know, they're just generally pigs. And I have to say, I probably shouldn't, that a lot of the Dartmouth types, blokes who've come through the whole shooting match at Dartmouth.
The regulars?
Regulars. Can be pigs.
In what way?
It's this supercilious approach to people of whom they regard as being of a lesser social standing or lesser, lower social order for them. Now, this is wartime. I don't know, it probably doesn't apply now at all, because I think that sort of distinction in life has, to a great extent, disappeared. But it certainly existed in those days. And some blokes who came from moneyed families and so on very often had that sort of approach. And I hated it. I couldn't stick it at any price. But as a general rule, I got on very well with the blokes in my division. Very well indeed.
Now, how long were you at Hove
and Lancing? Well, at Hove and Lancing... after Lancing, by the way, we were back to Hove now, to King Alfred proper, which is on the front. It's a great big swimming pool establishment and all the rest of it. You may have seen it, I don't know. And that's still there. And that's where we finished up. We did the sort of all the outdoor stuff and everything there at Lancing. And then we came back to Hove, to that King Alfred there. And there was a gunnery place alongside it, on the beach, alongside, not on the beach, but along the front, next door to King Alfred, where they had some naval guns on their mountings, and we used to go and do gunnery drill and that sort of thing.
Tell us about your gunnery training.
Well, it was rather basic. Rather basic. You were dealing with QF, quick firing guns, and as far as I recall, the Navy gun that we had there was a 4-inch gun that we played with, and you had to learn the drill, the loading number and the tray, what the trainer did, what the layer did, what the loading number did, and so on and so forth, and the sequence of events of loading, training, aiming and firing the gun, all that sort of thing. You had gunner's mates there to they're like sergeant majors. Some of them are great lads. They were there to instruct you, and they gave you the drill, literally the gunnery drill.
Do you remember it now, or was it?
I remember some of it, not a lot of it, not much, because after I commissioned, I didn't have any much to do with gunnery. I didn't have much to do with gunnery after that, because I had specialised in ASDIC.
But they did teach you each. I mean, to be a layout of it.
Yeah. Oh yes,
you had addition number. Yeah, you had to actually do it.
Yeah. And you had the gun there to do it with, you know, or two of them, as far as I remember. They were on the.
Did you actually fire it? Or?
Oh no, you didn't actually fire it. No. You were on the front at Brighton. You couldn't go firing guns on the front at Brighton.